They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. What about cooks and bakers? Can they be taught? Have you tried to do something you've never gotten right only to finally find success? Are you still struggling with that one task? Today's episode is about pressing on when there's no good reason to, or at least almost no good reason to. The Eating Liberty Podcast, food and freedom, once a week for life. Hello folks, Dan Reed here. Welcome back to the show. I didn't say so before, this is episode 274. I've been a professional chef and baker. I've been in food or food service for nearly my entire life. Now I write about food and cook at home, learning how to make gluten-free foods taste not gluten-free. That's not as easy as they tell you. All right, it's 2024. That's not news now, but this is the first show of this new year. Pretty much for the duration of this podcast, all 273 episodes, I've made the point that for recipes, procedure matters. Written procedure matters. I was a guest on Mike Meharry's Godarchy podcast a few years ago, and we talked cooking. I'm pretty sure even on his show, I mentioned procedure as the thing that makes or breaks a cook's efforts. I cited the much used line in Escoffier, prepare in the usual manner. It's kind of become a joke between us. Any cook who knows what that means, prepare in the usual manner, already understands what those five words mean. They mean, use the experience that you, the cook, have gained over many efforts to make that same dish or dishes cooked in the same way and apply all of that knowledge and experience to this one. Restaurant cooks have their own lingo and it can change from place to place depending on the crew and the food and what's on the menu. Any cook familiar with the jargon knows exactly what's expected and how to execute that task. Now, I've even kind of beat up on chef and recipe authors who don't provide good procedures. I'm pretty certain the reason so many people insist they can't cook or bake is at least from crappy writing. And so it is with this recipe I'm going to tell you about. But first, a story. Marcel Proust wrote volumes of books. Maybe the single best known passage was the short paragraph about a Madeleine cookie and the spectacular ability food has to make its eater travel through time to the best memory of that food. For the character in Proust's book, that simple, well-executed cookie transported him to his childhood. Such is the power of food. My wife's grandmother was, by several accounts, an amazing cook. I never met her. My wife's birthday cake from Granny was a white cake with fudge icing. So, of course, years ago, I was tasked with making that cake. What wasn't then known to me was the immense power that specific memory had. Even then, I was decorating cakes and doing pastry work. Icing a cake. How hard could that be? Ha, ha, ha. Fudge icing, at least this one, is a cooked sugar icing. Then the hot compound is placed in the mixer bowl and slowly paddled to let out some of the heat. Now, here's the first thing. If you've ever iced a cake, there's a superior chance that the icing you used was at least room temperature. If the room temperature, it is room temperature in those tubs that you buy at the grocery store, and buttercream icing you make at home has to be room temperature, so does cream cheese icing. This is icing, so it must be room temperature based on all of my previous experience. Why would the usual manner be anything different? There's a note on this recipe which reads, the icing may need to be thinned a bit with heavy cream to make it spreadable. Well, I made it and I added cream. Way more than the half a cup maximum suggested. And it spread, but was far, far, far from what the memory expected. I don't remember if I did that for our first year together. We will celebrate our 20th anniversary this year, and I've not yet gotten this right for her birthday. I'm going to read the recipe. It's short. See if you hear, that's funny, where some pitfalls might be. I'll also tell you this is a photocopy of a typewritten recipe in all caps. Fudge frosting. Icing, frosting, maybe the same thing. 2 cups of sugar. 2 tablespoons corn syrup. 3 squares unsweetened chocolate. 1/2 a cup milk. 1/2 a teaspoon baking powder. 2 tablespoons butter. 1 teaspoon vanilla. Cook corn syrup, sugar, chocolate, and milk to 232 degrees Fahrenheit or until syrup forms a very soft ball when tested in cold water. Stir occasionally to prevent burning. Remove from fire, add baking powder and butter. Cool to lukewarm. Add vanilla and beat until creamy and right consistency to spread. Note, may need 1/4 to 1/2 cup cream to make spreadable. Beat until creamy. What is that author's definition of creamy? And to the right consistency. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot is that. One daughter had her birthday recently. She asked for a white cake with fudge icing. There was the expected chortle from my wife. Of course I agreed. I love my daughters and will certainly attempt fudge icing. After last year's fondant iced cake, this should be easier. She actually wanted a fondant cake when she was 3 or 4 and I put her off. She remembered every year until it was time. I was determined to get this right. I checked the YouTubes. Holy crap! Fudge icing was an avalanche of hits. And dozens of different procedures. Fudge icing Southern style. Hardly any less. That's not going to help. None of them seemed to be exactly mine, and if they aren't then this they don't help. As a last resort, and with a 3-hour time difference, I texted my mother-in-law. I even sent her a short video of the icing in the bowl, asking if that was how it was supposed to look. It was. Epiphany number 1. The icing, or frosting, is hot. Or at least pretty darn warm when it goes on the cake. Well, there was only one epiphany, but a few insights. The icing goes from just right to fudged up in about 2 seconds. No kidding. It goes from, yeah, I can spread that if I work kind of quick, to an asphalt machine can't move that fudge. There is a very small window of opportunity here. I did it. When I presented my wife with her piece of my daughter's birthday cake, she agreed that this was as close as I've ever gotten. I'll take that as a victory. Between at least a dozen fails and an amped up memory of what was, that might be all I can expect. And this year, she'll get her white cake with fudge icing for her birthday. Insight number one is make at least a batch and a half of frosting. I'm using frosting and icing interchangeably here. To call this icing is to compare it to all the other icings you know. It isn't like anything you know, probably. You can coax and goad buttercream to move a bit here and a bit there. Fudge icing sets up fast and sits right down and ain't going nowhere. You ain't coaxing that no how, no way. After 40 years or so working in food, I'm still learning. And procedures matter. I know this was written by someone who knows for others who know. That's confusing. It was written by somebody to give to people who know how to make this. It was not intended to end up in one of my recipe binders. It was not intended for a chef who doesn't know what the usual manner is for cooked fudge icing. It's good. Really, it's really good. It's as sweet as can be. It'll hurt your teeth, but it's fun to eat. If you like to pick out the cake part first and leave the icing for last, this will cooperate completely. And with some ice cold half and half or milk, it's a few moments of childhood all over again, even for the guy who didn't have this as a kid. My birthday cake preference was angel food cake with chocolate icing. I am pretty sure my mother did not make fudge icing. If that Proust Madeleine cookie reference seems obscure to you, perhaps the movie Ratatouille can help. In the movie, the food critic, Ego, at the end of the movie eats Ratatouille, the food, not the animal, and we move to his mind to see him as a child at the kitchen door and his mama feeding him a bowl of Ratatouille. I actually had one customer tell me that the bouillabaisse reminds her of her childhood. You can't ever plan to do that, but it was the best possible comment I could ever get. Now, that Ratatouille movie's been out for a long time, so if that's a spoiler alert for you, I'm really sorry about that, but then go watch the movie because it's fun, it's entertaining. There's nearly a year ahead of us, so go make some food memories and be kids again. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'm going to start the year off with a short episode. Procedures matter. I wrote a whole cookbook with a focus on the procedure. It's called Cooking for Comfort. You can check out the introduction for free on my blog. Surf over to theculinarylibertarian.com/cookingforcomfort. And check out the introduction. Read how I discuss food and see if that's a good fit for you. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.